The rhythm this morning is from Romans 8, verses 18 to 25. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
I'm one of those people who Ian was praying for, because I'm not feeling fantastic. I've had low blood pressure this week, and it feels very weird. So, but anyway, we have heard today, we have heard prophecy. Roland, Mac, Jill, Ian, and Colin have all spoken God's word. Prophecy is not prediction. Prophecy is preaching God's word. And we've heard that today. And as we were singing that song, I've just gone out of my mind. No other name. Just incredible. There is no other name under heaven for which we will be saved but Jesus Christ. And there is, you will know that one of my favorite theologians was a Swiss theologian, greatest theologian of the 20th century, called Karl Barth. And somebody said, Professor Barth, what is the greatest theological insight you have ever discovered? And he said, Jesus loves me, this I know. I'm going to cry, for the Bible tells me so. There you go. No greater insight can you have than to know the love of Jesus Christ that the Bible talks about. It is amazing. And I thank everybody for taking part today. We have a lovely community here. We're not perfect, but we love Jesus. And that's the most important thing that you can ever do, is to love Jesus Christ. There's nothing else. St. Augustine was asked about what is your ethics, how should you live? And he said, love and do as you wish. Because if you love Jesus, you will do the right thing. So we must be very careful about how we live, but much more importantly, how we love. So developing a relationship with Jesus It is definitely the most important thing that you can do. And we are concluding our series on the environment and creation care today. And, you know, we can, and we've got to do things that are practical, like, you know, recycling, turning lights off and all this sort of thing. But first of all, where does that come from? It comes from our love for Jesus Christ. Today, as Margaret was reading, I leaned over to Wilma and I said, this passage blows my mind. I have studied this as part of a course I used to give at All Nations. I would do a study on Romans 8, the whole of Romans 8. And it took 3 hours. So I can't do justice to this today unless you want to be here until about 3 o'clock. I can't. You can't. This is one of the most amazing passages that I have ever read. The Apostle Paul is bringing to a conclusion an argument that he's done from Romans 1. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's nobody righteous, not one person who's righteous. However righteous we feel, and sometimes I feel very righteous. Standing up here, I feel awfully righteous. But we've all sinned. And we have ruined God's creation. Not only environmentally, but in every single way. I've named this sermon, Groaning Ground and Challenged Children. I like alliteration. Groaning Ground and Challenging Children. But the real message of this passage is don't lose hope. The best is still to come. However we have tried to absolutely ruin God's creation and ruin the people of God's creation, the poor, the vulnerable, the widows, the orphans, the foreigners, the best is yet to come. God will restore, but it has something to do with us. We have a world in absolute and utter mess right now. It is an absolute mess. And I go back, I always go back to the context. Climate problems. The pandemic is still going on. And it will come back, I'm sorry to tell you. The cost of living crisis. The war in Ukraine. The wars in Central Africa. It's an absolute mess. But this is the point. What it says right at this, the beginning. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. No. In us. It's an important bit. Romans is written to the church in Rome that Paul didn't know, actually. But the church in Rome, can you imagine what the church in Rome was like? How was it to be a Christian in the Roman Empire at that time? Paul was probably writing about 58, 60 AD. You know who was the emperor? Nero, exactly. A well-balanced, nice chap. Not. He hated Christians. He used to put tar on them and burn them at his parties, just for fun. There you go. So what it was like to be in Rome was terrible, terrible, terrible suffering. And most of these Christians were slaves. They weren't high-class people. They didn't have rights. They had no rights whatsoever. And Paul's talking to them about how the suffering will end. Suffering won't last. God will liberate you. This is very important because we look at the news. You know, I'm starting not to want to watch the news because, you know, my mental health is not exactly well balanced as it is. But you can start watching the news and it'll go up right square shaped. It's terrible. But Paul is saying that the sufferings will cease because of what God will do. God will end the sufferings and there will be future glory. The whole creation is suffering. The whole creation is groaning. And the word basically can mean several things, actually. But I think it means the whole created order, which means the land, the ground, and the people. The whole created order. And Paul uses the term sometimes in heaven and on earth as shorthand for everything. So why has this happened? Well, if you go back to Genesis 3, Adam and Eve disobey God. And God curses the ground. Now, I used to milk cows. That's what I did. I didn't do much sort of cultivating or anything. But I know, and I was taught, that a weed is simply a plant that's growing in the wrong place. And we see them all over Lincolnshire, don't we? You know, you've got the yellow flowers at the side of the road. They shouldn't be there. They've just planted themselves the rapeseed. It's great stuff, oilseed rape. Really good. But it grows very easily and in the wrong place. Because the earth has been subjected to frustration. And I'm very tempted to tell a story here, but it's probably taking up too much time. But a guy called Douglas Moo, his family was from... I can't remember, but he like it was Mulinescu or something like that. And when he went into Ellis Island in the United States, they couldn't be bothered to spell his name properly. So they called him Douglas Moo, and that's what his name is now. But he said, humanity's fall into sin marred the goodness of God's creation, and creation has ever since been in a state of frustration. In other words, it's our fault. Humanity's fault. It is a slavery of corruption. It is decaying because of human sin. And Paul, in this chapter, links the groaning of creation with our groaning. We are groaning because of the groaning of the earth. And that is the consequences of sin. But the futility, that's the word that's used actually, the creation's futility is intertwined and connected to human futility originating in our fall. And so we have hope. The whole non-human created order was plunged into futility by the fall of humanity, but will be liberated with the liberation of humanity in the future. God will put it right. Now, this has consequences for us. It has consequences for the way we live. God will revolutionize this world, and it is to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of our bodies as well. He will do this for us. He will not leave us in this state. He created us with free will. And this is, people often ask me, and certainly atheists ask me, why did God create human beings knowing that we were going to mess up the world? Because he loved us. And because God loves, he created us in his image, or in the divine image. God's not male or female, by the way. God is God. He's male and female. And he created us in his image, which means he created us with free will. A will that could actually accept him or reject him. And our redemption, that's what we're being bought back, we are being redeemed, means that the creation will also be redeemed. There's a connection between our redemption and the redemption of the world. We are not disconnected with this planet. it's very important for Christians to understand that we are connected intimately and intertwined with the planet. And our redemption, and it's not just basically God's going to take us to some sort of personal Olympus and we'll all be blessed up there and float on clouds and sing Hillsong songs. Doesn't mean that. It means that we will become fully human again and will rejoice in this planet. What does that mean for us today? What does that mean for me? We need to value, we need to love this planet we live on. And I've said it before, I mean, I'm just looking out the door there, it's concrete. It's not earth. I often, after it rains, when I go for a walk, most of the earth comes into my front living room, unfortunately. But we are connected. We need to care. We need to love God's world. Why? Because we love God. It's not some sort of ethical, environmental thing. It's a spiritual love of God. We love God, we will love what God has given us. And God is going to redeem it. It doesn't mean that we don't care about the planet. It means we do care about the planet. And this wonderful idea that we, and Paul goes on in this chapter to say, we are more than conquerors because Christ loved us. And the whole of this service today, the Spirit has obviously been doing some arrangements that we didn't know about, because it's just gone to that verse that that Colin read. We can approach the throne with grace because we love God and we have no fear. So we need to love God and so love his planet. Now I'm going to sit down for a sec because I'm feeling slightly woozy. Not going to faint, but... and I'm going to pray. I'm going to sit down to pray because if I close my eyes, I'll fall over. Lord God, we do thank you for your planet. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you have an integral plan for your earth. Not only the grounds, not only the animals, but the people as well. And we thank you that we as a church can be the first fruits of that. We can be the leaders and leading forward, although we confess we have not been so. We haven't cared, but we look forward to the redemption of our bodies and the redemption of your planet. We thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us. What a miracle that is, to love you in this way in order that your creation can thrive once again. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who inspires us, who knows us so well, knows our foibles but still loves us. We thank you that you have put us in this world in order to look after it. In Jesus' name, amen.